Good morning. I welcome all of you to this service of worship at First Presbyterian Church, and especially our family to receive the sacrament of baptism today. Hey there, okay. So all is well so far. Very good. We have a few announcements in our life together as church this morning. Of course, we are enjoying the sacrament of baptism for Ann Mead Brown, and we are looking forward to that in the course of our worship service today. Always a very meaningful time in the life of the church as we welcome a new sister into the flock. And also, we have a called meeting following worship this morning. That will be for the purpose of electing the pulpit nominating committee, which is one of the first big steps toward heading for the new pastor. So keep them in prayer, and we will gather together following worship today. You have their names listed in there. There is a session meeting following all of that, our monthly stated session meeting, and of course all members are invited to come. Many are called, but few ever show up. So I guess your taste in entertainment doesn't run toward that. Today is our celebration of Fred Rogers Day. Fred was a Presbyterian minister. A lot of people aren't aware of that, but he was ordained and he served in the Presbytery then of Philadelphia. And he has since been gathered unto his fathers. But his memory kind of lives on, especially in the Presbyterian Church, because he taught us about kindness and sharing and forgiveness and grace. And to my way of thinking, he brought at least a modicum of Western civilization to a whole generation of children, including my two boys, who I used to watch Mr. Rogers with them from time to time. So, on that note, I appreciate all of you who wore your cardigans today. And so, we will put on my comfy shoes. They are hardly visible, but we wanted to share them with you. So at this time, while I'm doing that, I'm going to invite Alice to come up and share our moment for mission.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to Mission Sunday, a day where we will honor the legacy of Presbyterian minister Fred Rogers and participate in the calling of Matthew 25. I grew up watching Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I have memories of watching most every day on my grandmother's black and white television next door. As a child, Mr. Rogers taught me to be kind to others, to respect differences, to take care of our world, and how to make crayons. As an adult, I know his influence is a foundation for the beliefs about the need for social justice, the value of community, and the role of education. Another strong influence, of course, was growing up in this very church, which has always had a rich history of these same beliefs and has demonstrated those beliefs through mission to our local and global community. Today, we remember that history and commit to continuing that work. Last year, our congregation joined Presbyterian churches across the country in the Matthew 25 Mission Initiative. Matthew 25 calls us to focus our efforts in the areas of equality for all, poverty, and congregational vitality. Today, I want to share with you a little about our mission work. As part of our 175th birthday celebration, we renewed our longtime partnership with Friendship House. Friendship House offers an exceptional early learning environment for families, regardless of income level. We have been working on beautification projects such as cleaning and creating an outdoor garden space and installing a beautiful copper sculpture which celebrates nature and children. We've begun volunteering and reading to children, and soon we will help each child decorate a birdhouse to take home. Look for dates and opportunities to join in this mission this spring. In December, we opened our Little Free Pantry to provide food and other essentials to our housing insecure neighbors. Thanks to Mike Brown, we have a beautiful pantry to share with others who find themselves in need. Your donations of food and other items have been a blessing to so many. The pantry is checked on each week by a Pantry Pal volunteer, and there has not been a week that the pantry is not emptied. This will be an ongoing project, so donations are accepted every week. If you're not sure what to donate, we have a list of suggested items on our mission board. In January, we opened the Book Spot at Park Creek School. The school requested a space where students could buy or swap books to encourage a love of reading and to build home libraries. Our team purchased bookshelves and began to collect new or gently used books. Each Tuesday, two grade levels of students are invited to browse the Book Spot. Books can be purchased for just 25 cents or by swapping a book. We have extra quarters on hand, so no child is denied a book. The children are excited about reading and are really enjoying this addition to their school. You can be a part of this ministry by donating books or, if you're an early bird, joining us on Tuesday mornings from 7:20 to 8:15 a.m. Finally, I wanted to let you know about our mission grant opportunities. Our team offers grants of up to $4,000 to local agencies with needs that meet our mission focus. Last year, some recipients of these grants included Sharing is Caring, the Treatment Accountability Courts, the Deo Clinic, the Salvation Army, and the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. For a full list of these donations, please check out our mission board. If you know of needs, please contact a mission team member for a grant application. Thank you for your generous support of our mission work. Please consider joining us as a team member, a volunteer, or with your donations and prayers. Thank you for loving your neighbor.
Thank you, Alice. I appreciate your going on for everything that we do and giving me time to catch my breath after tying my shoes. Let us share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. Welcome to the neighborhood.
What neighborhood is this?
This is the neighborhood of grace, where the blind see, the deaf hear, the hungry are fed, and the diseased are healed.
Who lives here? What kind of people are they?
There is not a they, there is only a we.
Do you mean that just anybody can move in?
Anybody at all, even you, especially you, welcome to the neighborhood. Let us pray together. We come to your neighborhood, O Lord, full of hope and dreams. Teach us the paths of gentleness and acceptance. Fill us with your grace that we may welcome all in the name of him who came to save us, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Praying first in silence. And together we pray. We find it hard to welcome others, dear Lord. They may not look like us or speak like us. Their food may seem strange and their customs unfamiliar. Yet you love them as much as you love us. Help us to make them feel welcome in our neighborhood and give us the grace to visit them and theirs until the day comes when all neighborhoods are one. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Have our time with the children today. I'll ask anybody who feels childish to come up. Come on, up here.
Substitute Haynes for today. Substitute Haynes for today.
Oh, you're substituting Haynes for the day. Okay. We are so glad to have you here. We are doing a special thing today called a baptism. Do you know what that is? What happens?
You baptize someone with water.
You know, I forgot one thing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, no. Better. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that's much better. All right, I feel like we're all awake now. We baptize people with water. Come on over here. And let's look at the baptismal font. Okay. This is where the water will go. And words will be said of thanksgiving and blessing the water. And then we'll bring Ann up just a moment here. And we will have a blessing and a prayer. And then when the water is placed on her head, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, she will officially be part of our family, not just for today, but forever. Long time ago, God talked to Abraham, and he said, you and your household, that means all of your children and everybody who lives under your roof and everybody who's in your extended family, they are all heirs of the covenant. So, thanks to Abraham and the grace of God, we welcome people for baptism, and Dr. Jones is going to perform it, and I will invite him and Jean to come forward, and we're going to stand right here and witness to all of it, okay? Because you're part of the family, too.
Beloved, attend to the words of institution of the Holy Sacrament of Baptism as delivered by our Lord and Savior to his disciples after his resurrection and before he ascended to the right hand of God, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The sacrament thus instituted is a sign and seal of our ingrafting into Christ, our forgiveness of sins by his blood and resurrection unto everlasting life. By this sacrament we are solemnly admitted into his church and engaged to be the Lord's. Though little children do not understand these things, yet is the promise also for them. They are heirs of the covenant of grace, and in holy baptism God brings them into the family and household of faith and makes them members of Christ and citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Consider how it is written, they brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them, but his disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, let the little children come to me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. It is the duty of parents who bring their children for baptism to make confession of faith on their own and to promise to bring them up in the faith and nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, Andrew and Lucy, I ask you, in presenting your child for baptism, you confess your faith in God as your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier. Do you? You promise independence upon divine grace to teach her the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer, precept, and example to bring her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and in the ways of the Church of God. Do you?
And do we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Anne by word and deed with love and prayer. Encourage her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church. Do we?
We do.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will ratify in heaven that which by your appointment we do upon heaven. Sanctify this water to be the spiritual use to which it has, thou hast ordained it. And grant that this child, now to be baptized, may be born again of water and the Holy Spirit and ever remain in the number of your faithful children through Christ our Lord. Amen. And Mead Brown, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we welcome this precious child into your family, praying that we may be faithful to our promises and that her parents may be strengthened in their walk so they set the kind of example you hope for them. Watch over her all her days. Bring her to the day of her own confirmation, and then use her with all her gifts to strengthen your church and the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
On behalf of the Congregational Life team from this church, we present to you all this blanket.
Thank you.
And a book, which we will keep in her honor to add to our library.
Yes.
So that when she comes
comes again, we can read to her until she can read to us.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, little one, and give you love and peace always.
Amen. Amen. And thank y'all for coming up and being a part of the baptismal team. And I hope you remember this always. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. Of any sacrament of the church is the declaration of belief of the congregation. I invite you to rise as we affirm what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the 23rd Psalm. Listen for God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Listen for God's word. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. That kind of takes me back to my days in Latin class. Hic, haec, hoc, huius, huius, huius. That's about all I remember. I want to take a moment. Gravity check. Still works. Take a moment of personal privilege to congratulate Alex over here, who has been accepted to an experience this summer at the Naval Academy. And this is a preliminary step in his application, and I can't wait to see Midshipman Alex. Let's give him a round of applause. Your church family is very proud of you. For my part, I'm afraid of water, so I won't be going with you. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. John, reading from the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 41. It's a little bit of a long reading, but we'll pray my voice holds out. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back to see. The neighbors, and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," he said. "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how then does he now see?" The parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I don't know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, though, is I was blind, and now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Well, here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you're trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near heard him and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we hear your word read. And now as it is proclaimed, open the ears of our souls to hear and the willingness of our hands to serve. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, that's a bit of a long passage there, and may have to have another cough drop before I really get into the sermon, but you know, this is the cost we pay. Some people are born blind, and some people just can't speak for a long time. Well, Fred Rogers, the Reverend Dr. Fred Rogers, he never really accepted any of those honorifics. He was simply Fred Rogers to everybody who knew him. The one story I remember about Fred was A friend of his was being installed in one of those big steeple churches, you know, where everybody dresses just right. And Fred had to put on his academic robe for the grand procession that was going to go down the middle aisle of the church. And it was full. There were about 1,500, 2,000 people there. Oh, and there was a band, there was brass, there was timpani, there were violins, and it was a show to beat all shows. Sure enough, the orchestra struck up, and the procession began. And all these people with all their titles and degrees began making their slow way down the procession. And Fred, I think he was wearing tennis shoes, under all of that, saw a little child about 3 or 4 years old who looked up at him from the very end of the pew and said, "Mr. Rogers!" And Fred stopped the whole procession. Stopped it. The orchestra didn't know what to do. They just kept on playing, and Fred got down and talked to that little girl for about 3 minutes. I don't know who that little girl was, but I want to know how she's done in life, because Fred always took time for the little ones and to make sure they knew about the love of God and the love of neighborhood and the love of grace, and therein lies a great lesson. This poor guy in our gospel lesson today, born blind, I was always somewhat uncomfortable with the idea of Jesus making mud with his saliva and putting it on his eyes and telling him, "Now go take a bath." It just seemed out of character. And yet, here it is, a miracle of Jesus. And the man born blind suddenly sees. But it made a problem, because all of a sudden he was out of his role in the community. Now that he was able to see, he could no longer beg. People had always assumed that he knew his place in life, and now all of a sudden his place has changed. Years ago, Virginia Satir wrote a marvelous book, Conjoint Family Therapy. And it kind of began preachers and teachers and psychologists to think about this thing called systems theory in families especially, but also in communities. And the basic lesson is everybody has a place, everybody knows their place, and whenever anybody gets out of their place, it disrupts the whole community. And that's exactly what happened in this fellow's synagogue. Jesus upset the apple cart of religious expectation. And so this man did not anymore fit his place in the synagogue. They were afraid that the troublemaker in this society was none other than this Jesus fellow. They'd already been kind of suspicious of him. But now when he does a healing on the Sabbath, well, that just cinched the deal right there. They said that Jesus must be a sinner because he worked on the Sabbath, and anybody who is a follower of God knows better. Sometimes our religious institutions and expectations get in the way of our sharing grace. I'd like to say that was the last example of anybody being put out of the synagogue or of the church, but we still have that temptation. Years ago, a couple of hundred years ago, I've seen minutes of Presbyterian churches where someone was dismissed from the church, excommunicated for the sin of contumacy. Being contumacious. You ever heard that word before? It means just being wretched, ornery, disagreeable. Someone who is always setting their life in a minor key and disrupting everybody else. And so the easy way out was simply to kick them out of the church. And this is in the minutes of the Presbyterian Church, about 1800 and before, about some into the 1800s. It's not one of our finer moments. We've had a lot of not so fine moments as the people of God. But you know what? I want us to think of our church and our community as a neighborhood. Fred Rogers and Jesus come to teach us that there is this thing called community. There is this thing called neighborhood. And the one he offers us transcends the one from which the blind man and his family were put out. Jesus welcomed this man who worshiped him as the Son of Man, also the Son of God, worshiped him and was welcomed into that budding community. What can we do to help those who have found themselves rejected, oppressed, driven insane by their family of birth, their family of association, their family of people in this particular status? Well, Fred Rogers would say, welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome to the neighborhood. I have a vision, and I think you've already got it, and I think by and large you taught it to me. When we say love first, love all, what does that mean? It's beyond a catchy little phrase. It is certainly hummable. That's a phrase we use in marketing sometimes. A motto has to be hummable, something you remember. And what I have learned from you and what I continue to proclaim is that in order to invite people to come into this neighborhood where they can find a home and love and acceptance, is that we need to be three things. One is inclusive, the other is inquiring, and the third is engaging. Inclusive, everybody's welcome. Come one, come all. We're glad you're here. Come join the neighborhood. No matter who you are, what you are, where you're from, welcome to the neighborhood. We're inclusive. Inquiring, we don't just accept things as fact. We ask questions. One thing I've always loved about the Presbyterian Church is we value inquiry. We value the life of the mind. We value education. We value people who think beyond the realms that we would normally accept as being normative. Inclusive, inquiring, engaging. We are engaging. From the book spot to the little pantry to being open and honest about who we are engaging the world. And in so doing, we are making a difference. And I think this is at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a day when so many communities are closing ranks and so many churches are having quality control experts to say who is in and who is out, we are a shining example of grace. And I bless us for it. And I think God blesses us for it. Love first, love all. Inclusive, inquiring, engaging. May that always be us, a place where the blind can come to see and the deaf can come to hear and the hungry can be fed and the diseased can be healed and where joy and life may flow abundantly. Seeing just what we want. We want so much more than we see. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, our King, we thank you that you are a God who opens wide the doors of grace to all who will come. Help us to always be inclusive, inquiring, and engaging so that your grace may flow from our hearts to our neighborhood beyond these walls. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And oddly enough, our second hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See. Please be seated. You know, God every now and again throws us a curveball, and he seems to especially like doing it to me. Somewhere I have misplaced my marked hymnal. And thankfully, I knew that hymn from my Sunday school days in the pioneer class. So, thank you, Lord, for keeping me humble. Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Your response is, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we strive to be a people of grace. Sometimes, O Lord, we find it hard when our neighborhood is disrupted by disabilities of the spirit or the mind or the body. But Lord, help us to always be gracious and loving and hopeful and peaceful. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, you call us to look beyond these walls to the community in which we live. Help us to be the harbingers of your heart, the givers of your grace, the workers of your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Send us forth, O Lord, beyond these walls, beyond this community, that all that we do may be gracious in your sight and accomplishing your will. Keep us prayerful for our state, our nation, and those places where hostility and hatred seem to rule the day. Lord, in your mercy, And together we pray the prayer which our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. And we dare to pray it boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings. Hearts, O Lord, we receive a portion of that which you first entrusted to us. Multiply these gifts by your grace that your kingdom may be expanded and your neighborhood opened, and strengthen our hearts in the giving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
one of my favorite hymns, and you did it so much justice. It's been called the Presbyterian Amazing Grace. Go forth from this place in peace, to be inclusive and inquiring and engaging and loving and graceful and welcoming to all. For such is the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go forth and be to the world the beacon of grace. In the name of the Father who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.